And welcome to this installation of the Digital Digest by AOS. Today we have with us Ms. Karen Cherry, who's an esteemed businesswoman, wife, mother, and entrepreneur of over 23 years. In a community. So would you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, I am Karen Cherry, entrepreneur, speaker, coach, visionary author, master collaborator.
Yes, ma'am.
I am the owner, co-owner of PR. Over 23 years, I've been in the healthcare field for over 30 plus years. My background comes from a degree in occupational therapy. I'm also the co-founder of Success Women's Conference, which we average every year around over people in Biloxi, Mississippi. And I'm also the visionary author behind Trailblazers Who Lead.
And so Trailblazers Who Lead, okay.
Trailblazers Who Lead. And so that being said, going back to Success Women's Conference. This is actually our sixth year doing Success Women's Conference. We actually started, our first year was over 525 plus.
So can you tell us more about how you developed your women's conference and how you came about deciding who all would be involved?
And co-chairing with another friend of mine, Lakeisha Cotton, and we actually just ran that for about 5 years, and we would have anywhere from 400, 450 women in attendance. So over the years, it's just something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy seeing women come in, the hustle and the bustle, and knowing that they're leaving with something that's powerful, that's affecting their life, not just their day. And so, and I enjoy being a part of making that happen. So it's really been an enjoyment of it. So success really was just another step in where I was going and what we saw this opportunity. I was sitting with my partner, Dorothy, and we were talking one day. And I can tell you, here on the coast, it probably had been at least 12 to 15 years people were talking about, we need a women's conference. And we even had groups that started meeting and never made anything happen. So her and I looked at each other one day. We were sitting in one of my branding sessions with her, because she does that in addition to her magazine. And I was like, she said, well, Karen, why don't we just do it? And I'm like, I said, you know what?
That's the spirit.
So, and that's actually, literally, we just decided, you know, I'm tired of talking. Let's make something happen.
How did it blow up from just being centered around Biloxi and the coast to attracting women from all over the country?
Well, I can honestly tell you, who you bring in makes a big difference. And I always say God has a major effect on everything you do. But
that
being said, in 2017, we had been doing regional speakers up until 2017, mainly just regional people. So I had been following Cheryl Wood for several years, had never met her. Really hadn't had a lot of conversations, but I liked her style. And so one year, one of my other friends brought her here. Tracy brought her here for her conference. She was just as dynamic with a smaller crowd. And so I was like, oh my God. I said, I know I'm going to get this woman at one of my events. And so therefore, when 2017 came around and we were talking about, well, who are we going to get to be? You know, we've been looking and searching for somebody, you know, national level.
And
I said, hey, let's bring her in. And he came from D.C., bringing in that D.C. Attention. Oh my goodness. I think I can do anything. I can fly. I think I can start my business right. And there were women that started their business after the conference. I mean, they just, it was just amazing. You were feeling this powerful energy.
The strength of a sisterhood. Yeah. What happens when women get together naturally?
Yes, and I tell you, I told Dorothy, my partner at the time, said, hey, I didn't realize we had that many Christian women in here. A lot of women who were career women who had
I'm looking at the website, and you had 80 plus speakers. So
Of course,
that's going to, I'm surprised you didn't have women from all over the world.
Yeah, and we are getting to that point. We really are, because it's reaching beyond now. We had over 100 speakers last year, and a lot of them, I mean, we had people from California, D.C., Washington, everywhere.
Awesome.
I mean, the speakers just came in from all over.
So what is the criteria that you typically have to meet to be qualified to be a speaker on your platform?
So what, and that's a very good question.
Thank you.
So some of the tips that I give people, because there are, what we look for, first off, we actually create our categories every year and looking at areas. We're always looking for people that speak to entrepreneurs. We're always looking for people who speak to women that are in professional careers and career development. We're always looking for the wellness, the balance, social media, all those things that typically most people are going to need now in order to improve where they are. So that being said, we typically put it on our site so you can kind of get a general idea of some of the areas we're looking for. But
okay, and let's pause right there. And the site, for those that are listening that want to go and view the site while you're listening to the podcast, the site info is successconference.info. That's successconference.info. You can apply directly from the site to register, to put in your application to become a speaker on this platform that's been shared by so many decorated women from around the country. All right, Ms. Kern, go ahead.
And so that being said, I looked at over 500 applications last year. So these are some of the things I highly recommend that people do. Number one, if you don't have a speaker one sheet, get a speaker one sheet, because that actually helps. You want something that's very visible, has your full name, your subject matters that you like to speak on, where you speak. Spoken before, just some general information, you know, where you've been seen as far as on TV, some people, you know, even if it's just your local news and stuff, you got to promote that on there. The other thing you want to make sure is you send a professional, I'm going to say this again, not from your phone, professional picture, headshot. That is important, because we do look at those things, and you know, we want to see who is applying for the job. And therefore, the other thing is, we're looking for, if you have a website, that is great. So some of the things you want to make sure that you start to upload, and I know a lot of us are working on our website. Hey, look, I gotta do some of the same thing.
We're all in that this digital age where we're constantly have to always be putting our best foot forward online.
Yes, and this is your digital footprint. And so when I can tell you, because I put in speaker applications as well, but you need to have some video of you speaking, okay? And if you don't have any from an event that you've spoken at, then try some, even a podcast. We like to hear that person. See if there's somebody that matches the audience that we're looking at. See if they're well-versed in some of the topics. And maybe you do a short. I've seen this as well. I saw this recently with a TED Talk. They asked them to send a little snippet of something that they were presenting on. So, okay. And that helped them to see who that person was, but it also helped to
show the personality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Can you draw in the audience? So,
right.
I'm going to tell you a few other, just a couple other hints that people don't think about.
Okay.
I look for people who are social media, are on social media. I look for people that are, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, those are my top two. Then I go to Instagram and Twitter, YouTube, all those. Yeah, YouTube is a big one too. But those are people.
And we're back. So we had a little intermittent there. So I was just about to ask, I'm sitting here looking at the website. It's a beautiful website. And I see that you have a call to join the Free Success Women's Nation First Facebook group for
yes.
professional women. So you want to talk about your Facebook group and who's welcome to join?
Success Nation is open to the public. Anybody can join. What we do there right now, it's a new group. So keep that in mind. One of the things that we're going to have coming up next month is we'll have speakers like Ty Miles.
Okay.
Joining us to share some things. And she's a really good branding expert. So
awesome.
That on the Success Women's Nation, you'll see some things ahead of everybody else.
Okay.
You might see who's the upcoming keynotes, and we have some great ones to announce really soon. So you'll see them on Success Nation or our Facebook page first.
Okay.
And so I would recommend joining there, and I also would recommend going back to our website at successconference.info in order to stay abreast of what's coming out this year. What are some of the things we're doing new this year?
So right. I'm signing up for the newsletter right now as we speak.
Yes.
So so is the annual event for the Women's Conference, that's every September. So you have it here for sponsors, what type of exhibitors do you typically invite? Is it like a vendor type of setup, or is it a setup for like artists, or how does that work?
So we like to do a mix, because we never know what women are looking for, but we do mm-hmm. like to do a variety of, we have people that do handmade leather. One of my good friends makes handmade leather purses and jewelry. She also does art. There's people that make handmade soaps. There are, you know, many other kind of jewelries as well. We have people from the healthcare industry that are part of the conference as a vendor as well. Sometimes we have people doing blood pressure, things like that as well. Get your health check. But it's a variety of people that come and participate as a vendor. And so the booths run about, I believe, $250. So that's something. And you get both days, Friday and Saturday this year. So a lot of things, what people don't know is we have moved to a Friday, Saturday format.
Nice.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. You can come spend the weekend on the coast.
Nice.
We're right on the beach. In case people have never been to Biloxi, we're 1 hour from New Orleans. We have 11 casinos in Biloxi.
How far are you from the riverboat?
Literally, we are. I mean, as far as, so Biloxi houses 11, and the conference is in Biloxi. And
okay.
We're not, you know, so when you say this is not LA or anything like that, we may have 50,000 people in Biloxi. So if you mm-hmm. were leaving the convention center where the conference will be held, then you're probably 15 minutes from just a drive to the nearest riverboat or whatever. So
that's a deep for those of us that are from the north. This is a huge celebrated culture along the Gulf Coast, along the Mississippi coastline. It's a huge part of Southern culture. If you ever get a chance to stop on a riverboat, you know, just to get your own experience and your own takeaway, you should definitely do that. You know, it may not be for some, it may not be a thing you want to stop and do with the family, but if you're, you know, feeling adventurous, it may be something that you want to take a look at as a part of our culture, as a part of American history.
And when I say we're on the water, the convention center's on the water. We're mm-hmm. on the water. So yeah. For those that like to go to the beach and do other stuff like that too, we're literally right here on the water. I mean, we're at the bottom end of Mississippi. So
and, right in the
yeah. So it is Biloxi, and people call it one of the best kept secrets because we have a mixed culture. We have the military base here. It really is a nice city here in Biloxi, the Biloxi-Gulfport region on here on the Gulf Coast. And like I said, we're only an hour from New Orleans, so you can literally hop in your car or take a...
Do a little tour. Yep. Do a little tour of the Gulf Coast. It sounds like something fun to do in September. So you have a website, membership levels. I see you have a member level. Your recommended membership is for young leaders, the leadership level, and then you have the executive level. Now, it looks like this is giving everyone a chance that whatever tax bracket you find yourself in, this is giving everyone a chance to participate and get on board and, you know, have a piece of the conference as they go back to their respective cities and states. So I see you have a $27 membership level that comes with a master class. It comes with directory training, a retreat, a virtual roundtable. You have a $97 level, which comes with all of those great things, along with some facilitator events, a feature segment in your newsletter, women's retreat, virtual roundtable, master classes. And then you can upgrade your admission pass to the conference. And then you have the executive level that encompasses all those things and much more. So you want to talk about the executive level and who would be a good fit for your executive level joining the Women's Conference, the Success Women's Conference?
Okay. So I'm going to go through briefly and talk about the different levels here.
Okay.
So with our conference, with our packages now, keep in mind that every package, you will get a ticket to the Success Women's Conference. So that's one thing that people need to know, that you'll have a ticket to the annual conference included in your membership. So on the executive level, that is really the level where people are looking to have a coach. Say you're looking for a coach, you're not sure if you need one or how much time you need to spend with them. So you'll get top level coaches for a small fraction of what most of them charge. And I'll give you an example. We had last year we added a coaching session to our conference on Saturday. And nice. Then the coaches were telling the attendees, you don't understand what you're getting here for little or nothing. So our members would have got all of that free. But that day, we had people in the room that were coaches that charge anywhere from $10,000 to $18,000, $20,000 for some of their sessions. These are private sessions. Mm-hmm. So at the second level, you're gonna get a private session, a one-on-one coaching. You'll see on our website where you get one-on-one coaching with a private with a coach. Typically those are 30 minutes or so, but it's one-on-one every month that you're a member. And I believe so in that package we also offer the elite ticket as well. Mm-hmm. And so this year the elite ticket is going to have a lot of bonuses to it, so I highly recommend that you look at that as well. But each package has a different level separating the package, where at the basic level 27, all of the members will get access to our live events as well, which we have a live event coming up March the 4th. We'll have Ty Miles, Darren Mobley, and Catherine Santiago. They'll be presenting, and it's all based around branding. That's free to our members.
Awesome.
It's free. Your membership already covers that. So awesome. We also are planning on a boot camp prior to success, and it'll be free to our members as well. But we'll also, like I said, at the upper levels, leadership has some coaching involved, but the executive level has the one-on-one. So they're just, if they go to our site, and of course they have any questions, they can always send us the message and somebody will follow up with them as well. But this is going to give you that coaching that you may not be able to afford on a regular basis by yourself. So
And also here, last but not least, I think this is a pretty interesting point to bring up, that you also get placement in the Success Book Anthology as a co-author, and that's only allotted to the first 10 women. So that's the first 10 women that sign up for this membership going into September for the upcoming season.
Yes. Now, so our team actually handles that. So I don't think she's done a call out on the book yet. But if we have 10 women that are interested, yes, you'll be a part of the book anthology that is directed by Success. And trust me, we tend to give a lot when we do an anthology. So it's worth it. It'll be out at one of our events, hopefully by our conference time. So I don't like to say the exact date because you never know, things do happen.
Right.
But that being said, anthologies, for people who've never done one, this is your opportunity to share your story. And it's not always your full story, but it's a chapter out of your life that you can share in an anthology. In addition to that, you also are creating a speaker platform for yourself. And even if you are a speaker, it's another platform that you can have in addition to the ones you already have. So I've been telling people about that because anthologies really are a way to start sharing out your story. Several of my friends always say, who are speakers, you have a story inside of you that somebody else is waiting to share. So
how do you go from, you know, the everyday entrepreneur, the everyday businesswoman, into the quantum leap of becoming a speaker? What does that process look like, and how does your organization help coach women like myself that I would love to be on speaking platforms, but I have a deathly fear of public speaking? So can you explain how you coach women through the process of becoming a public speaker?
Well, for one of the things that we do is that we have created a platform where we bring in other people who actually do this all the time, which is training women to become public speakers. Some people need some fine tuning, and some people need to create a platform. And so that being said, there are steps in that process to do that. And so you want this, and that's why I said the executive level is one of the best ways to get on board, to test the waters and see if you like the speaker. Like, we have Cheryl Wood that comes in every year, and she is one of our people on our team. Another person, we had Andy Hernandez, who also is a storyteller who has done some coaching and stuff for us as well. So I'm telling you, there are people that actually coach people into becoming a speaker.
What they do and all they do.
Yes, that's their specialty. Now, I wouldn't say that's all they do, but
say their primary focus. Calling,
yes, that is their main coaching program, and they're very gifted at it. So for me to step in and say, I can teach you how to coach, no. I'm the bus in the seat queen. I know how to help you get money and monetize your events and get people to your events and how to raise sponsorship dollars. I am
And that's the perfect segue to that. We see here on the website, for those that are interested in finding out more information, the website is successconference.info. There's information here to become an exhibitor, a volunteer, frequently asked questions, and of course, there's information available to become a sponsor. So going into the butts, into the seats queen, you know, everybody wants to know how to raise money, obviously, how to, you know, raise funds for events, whether it's for a nonprofit event or a launch event. People want to know, you know, with this whole new era of social media and attraction-driven marketing. How do you do it? How do you help businesses? How do you help women in particular get butts into the seats and grow their brand?
Yes. So I'm gonna start back with one of the, wrapping up that final question.
Okay.
One of the things that one of my friends and speakers, Cheryl Wood, mentioned to women back in 2017, if you're a business owner, you always should be speaking. You're already doing it. You're just not getting paid to do it.
Wow.
If you're somebody who has a story to tell, which everybody has many stories to tell. I'm going to tell you that. Many stories and many books inside of you to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You should be speaking. You should be out sharing your story and helping somebody else who's waiting to hear it. Mm-hmm. So if you ask, how do you get into that? Number one, you start looking and you go online and start applying. You know, one thing that holds us back from this type of stuff is fear. You know, it's the fear of the unknown. That's why most people don't share their story, because they're afraid. What if somebody doesn't like what I'm saying? Somebody is going to like what you're saying. Everybody may not like what you're saying, but somebody is waiting to hear what you have to share. Now, that being said, one of the things that I've done over the years, and one of the reasons why I enjoy doing what I do, is because I have over the years figured out different ways to help get people. So one of those things that I ask, when I'm first assessing your situation, have you created a file? Have you created some kind of something visible for people to see? And if you're not a professional in graphics, did you pay somebody to do it?
Right.
It speaks to who you are.
Right.
Branding is essential. Everything that you put out about you is important. Number one. Number two, when you put that flyer out there on social media, did you put it out there and tag people to it? A lot of people just put it out there. Well, it's not going to just happen. Did you consider boosting it? Did you consider creating an event? You definitely want to start with you tagging 100 people plus. Well, you can only do up to 100 at a time, but there's many ways to get around doing all that too. So that being said, that's just doing Facebook. Boosting your event is essential, you know, and putting it out there and inviting people. You know how many times I've been to a page and people haven't invited people to their event? I'm like, well, good Lord, you can invite. Look, inviting people is like tagging people. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You can invite up to 500 just yourself. And look, I've gone even further. I've created the event twice so I can invite 1,000 because I have friends, right? So that being said, those are just many little tips on in that particular case. Then I go to other social media sites. I use LinkedIn, and a lot of people may not know this right now, but LinkedIn has an event. You can create an event on LinkedIn now. A lot of
LinkedIn has caught up with a lot of the younger platforms like Instagram and Facebook. They have a link. You can do LinkedIn Lives now. It's so many new developments. It's awesome.
We're going to come back to LinkedIn because that is my favorite platform, by the way. But that being said, Facebook Live, I know everybody does Facebook Live. You want to do a graphic, let people know when you're coming on. This is all about promoting your event. You want to get it out there. Now, of course, some of us like to do the fly by the seat of the pants, and a month before we start, we go ahead and create an event and put it out there. Well, you know, you want to plan. If you can do a really good event, 6 months minimal is really good. I think we did the first year of success in less than 9 months. And I'm sure it was less than 9 months, but we did it it was, like I said, over 500 plus people at the event. So that being said, you have to promote and bring other people on to into your little circle that will help you promote it.
And who should your circle be comprised of? Because you see so many of, so typically what I'm seeing on social media, You'll see the event planners with the fashion designers or the set designers, the makeup artists, the stylists, the photographers. And that seems to have encompassed the circle. Now, is that just on the outside looking then what it looks like? Or ideally, who should be in your circle, in your professional circle? Who should be on your team as an event planner?
Oh, no. I don't have none of those people inside my group, just so you know.
No, that's right.
For number one, I am the person that raised money. I like to have another person that can help me bring in some money.
Right.
That's always a bonus, right?
Okay.
I also like for somebody that helps me keep things on in line, organized. Like, say, for instance, in success, Dorothy Wilson, my partner, she's really good at helping keeping us online with that kind of stuff, where I'm more the visual, the social media, all that kind of stuff. And then Tiffany makes sure she keeps the balance between us as well. But the point is, you want to have people to help keep you focused. You want somebody, you want creative. I call people creatives when they tend to develop graphics and come up with all these creative ways to promote your stuff and get yourself out there. You also look at, do these people have contacts? Okay. So that's the other thing is, you want to look at, make sure you have a few people in your group that can actually, that actually have their own following, because this is a bonus to you. And, you know, they bringing something to the table, and maybe they have already created an event that they've done, and they can bring some insight to you to the table.
Bring a more synergy.
Right.
All right. Well, that leads us right on up to the Power Up Summit. So you have the Power Up Summit. You mentioned earlier in the conversation before we got cut off in our previous segment that's coming up in New Orleans and May 29th through the 31st. So is this like the prequel? Is this like the premise to the women's conference, or is this something that encompasses both men and women?
Yes. So this is not a woman's conference. It's whoever wants to attend. I intentionally did not say women's summit because I want to make sure as the years go by that I'm able to tap in and to influence not just women, but men as well. So this is not a success conference event. This is an event. I'm the host. I'm the chair. And I have a small, very small group. And I'm going to go back and say, if you're putting an event together, please know that the people that are at your table, you don't need more than five or six of them to brainstorm and to help you keep in line. Then you expand out as the event gets bigger. And I say that because Dorothy and I did that in the beginning too. And I've done that with many of my events. The Power Up Summit, the Power Up meaning bringing people together to provide optimal wisdom, encouragement, and resources. And I say that because last year when I was at my conference, if anybody goes to our page and study our pictures, there was a few things that happened last year that I realized made me realize that we needed to do something. I needed to do something different. And because it's something that I really wanted to do, I wanted to push out and do this and do it myself. And so I enlisted, actually a young lady approached me to do my clothing and things like that. And after she did, and it was a stylist. And after the event, I was like, oh my goodness, nobody should do an event and not have a stylist. And then I started realizing, yeah, nobody should do an event and not have a speaker handler. You should not be without a coach. And if you're a speaker and you're not in the coaching business, shame on you. That's a separate revenue or income that you need to do. And if you don't know how to set up that, hire you a coach so you can do that. Pretty much if you are in that business, you should have a coach.
That's who you refer to as the speaker handler?
Yeah, the speaker handler is a person that makes sure that during the event you stay on track. So if you're in Ho
Chi, so that's the person with the backpack and the mic, the walkie-talkie to keep everybody away from you so you can stay focused.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
Look, if you think it's not effective, I had to, look, I didn't have mine last year, and I realized I was actually ducking and going into rooms so I could get my mind around.
Get the thoughts together, Especially if you're the person of the hour, everybody wants to be seen, taking pictures with you, talking to you. And, you know, those 5, 10, 15 minutes, it starts to eat away at your prepping time. So absolutely, yeah.
And I'm the kind of person, I want to stop and hug and talk to everybody. Oh, my God, I hadn't seen you in forever. You know, so that person keeps you on track and makes sure, and look. And then I look, my stylist standing on the side saying, okay, let me make sure your hair is in place. I had my hairstylist there. I had never done any of that before. I'm like, I got my
eyes. Wow. After over 10 years in speaking, over 20 years in speaking, this is the first time you had a handler? Wow. Wow.
This is the first time.
How did that feel? Did you feel like, oh, I'm getting Hollywood? Or how did that feel?
I felt like I didn't have to make any decisions. And I'm the kind of, if look, I will let you make the decision. I'm like, oh, you want to put that outfit on me? Okay, let's go with it. You know, and that's
it. Lets everybody play their part. Yeah, it lets everybody be a part, so they have a takeaway, a story, because that's what really sells and gets you going into the next season when everybody goes back to their respective cities talking about the awesome time. And, you know, women, you tell a woman in D.C. something, it's going to be in California by the end of the day, you know? So,
Exactly.
All right. So now I see that you've been featured in Essence not once, but twice. You were featured as the comeback queen. This is because you actually had three businesses running alongside with your Sunrise Adult Daycare. And that was backing out. So you were written up in Essence in 2001. And then again, you were featured in Making It Happen in August 2005. Coming from developing, already having a time-consuming business, like running an adult daycare facility, how do you segue not only into speaking, but now take that speaking platform and expand it into a nationally celebrated magazine like Essence? How did you make that happen?
Well, for me, I'm always juggling, and I actually like multitasking, so it kind of helps keep me from getting bored. But that being said, I feel like it's a natural transition for me. Not always everybody else, but it is for me. I was fortunate enough to have a friend who was a writer that just so happened to be in a writer's group. And Essence was looking for people who were doing some different things. So for me, I've always, the adult daycare center was something that we wanted to do. We were passionate about, because we wanted an alternative service for our people that we take care of in their home. And so doing that, and actually what a lot of people don't know, when we lived in Arizona, we also had a small business there as well. So, so being featured in the magazine, now that I really felt, you know, the celebrity treatment you were talking about. Oh my goodness. They sent a photographer from out of town. My makeup was done. They had a certain thing, you know, things that they do to get it set up so they get the right light and all. I was like, oh my goodness, is this what they do to get in the magazine? So anyway, it was fabulous.
Like an experience.
The lady that did the interview by phone was none other than the lady that does the cheetah books. What is it? Cheetah Girls?
The Cheetah Girls. Okay.
Deborah Gregory called me, and they assigned her the task to write my article.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I didn't know it at the time. Didn't mean anything to me at the time. I was just so happy that Essence was calling. So anyway, you say
here in your bio that you felt like it was God truly intervening. Why is that?
You know, a lot of times when you're doing things, people do not always You're walking, you're doing things. It's kind of like what I'm doing with the women and trailblazers who lead the book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that go unknown. People don't recognize you, especially back then, before a whole bunch of events. I was still doing things then, but less known. And so it allowed people to kind of get an idea of who I am, and people that were not just from the coast, but people from around the countries. I had all kind of calls about how to start a home care business, you know, and just different things that I had mentioned in the article. People were calling and asking about, and I'm a sharer. I like to give. So I'm always looking for the opportunity to share out what I'm doing and hopefully help somebody else to be able to increase their life as well.
Mm-hmm. And this happened right around the time you said in your bio here that you didn't even get a chance to promote your feature in Essence, which, you know, wasn't, you know, it's still there. That's the good thing about editorials and magazines, that they do go down in history and those articles can always be retrieved. But you said you didn't have a chance to get to share it and promote it like you wanted to, because shortly thereafter, that's when Hurricane Katrina happened. So without going too deep into it, I know, you know, a lot of people are still hurting from the losses and the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. But can you talk about, you know, how your resilience kicked in and how the spirit of what it is to be a Black woman kicked in during this time?
So I can honestly tell you, I really kind of I look back at that time frame. And I always thought about, what in the world? I never remembered the hard. It's the hardback cover that they printed. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't actually know why I had missed out on the opportunities, because I was so diligently doing what I was doing at the time, which is recovering.
Okay.
So that said, I look back at it now, and that magazine, that actually hardback came out during the month that Hurricane Katrina hit.
Wow.
So we went through a period of...
So hold on, pause me. So this was an Essence hardback magazine that you were featured in.
Yep. That was the second. I was featured twice.
I don't remember Awesome Essence putting out a hardback magazine. Now I'm going to have to go dig that up.
Yes, it's a hardback, and Mary J. Blige is on the front cover.
I have that magazine. It's Mary J. Blige and Beyonce on the cover.
I don't know if it's...
It's like a coffee book table size magazine. It's not the regular size. Yeah, and it has red. It has Essence and red on it. I have that magazine. Oh, this is going to be a great throwback Thursday this week.
Yes, it's a hard... you're right. It definitely is a hardback. So... Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, so I didn't. It was like a blur. And after looking backwards, I realized that's why I couldn't remember it. Because the first time I got my magazine, it was a big deal. You know, I called my parents, all that, blah, blah, blah. And then the second time, I just absolutely didn't remember it, anything. And I normally went on the media and promoted and all that. None of that happened because of Hurricane Katrina. So Hurricane Katrina came in and took out half of my clients. And I take care of people in the home. I help keep people in their houses, right? They want to
live. Those people that don't want to go to hospice or don't want to go to nursing homes and things like that.
Yes. And so that at that time, and we also serve people in the facilities too, but my goal is if they're home, I want to keep them home. Mm-hmm. So we saw people who had survived Camille. Hurricane Camille was almost as bad as Katrina, had survived other hurricanes. And I remember one of my clients, he lost his home before Camille. He lost his home during Camille. He lost his home in the hurricane after Camille. And now we were at Hurricane Katrina and he lost his home there. And what a lot of people don't realize, the thing is, for us, we actually found it was rewarding being able to go and help these people. So we even took a client with us during Hurricane Katrina.
Out of their own home and took them to come with you?
Yes, ma'am. We brought a sitter with us. We had a companion sitter with us that lady, her daughter had already left the area, not knowing that the hurricane was going to be what it was. So she called me and I said, oh yeah, we will go by and pick her up and we'll bring somebody to take care of her. And we did. We had people that were in the hospital because they were hospital bound at the time. And we had a sitter with them as well. And then what probably hurt us is coming back and watching many of my clients with nothing left on nothing. Wow. Sometimes not even the slab. And wow. Then are their house turned upside down or something. My husband went in his parents' house, who, you know, were older at the time as well. And he thought somebody had dumped the refrigerator over it, and it was the water. The water caused the refrigerator and everything else to flood up.
Oh, my goodness.
It was devastating to the point that not only did I lose half of my clients to Katrina, but after.
You want to hold your arms up over your head to get that windpipe open, let some air flow through that windpipe?
Okay, got it. So some of them, they made it through Katrina physically, but because their house was gone and somebody finally told them, they died shortly afterward.
Oh my goodness.
Guy who didn't know his house was gone, the one we took care of for like 5 years. And when his son finally told him over a year later that he had lost his house and they were not going to be able to take him home, he just died. He died a week and a half later in the nursing
home. Oh my goodness.
So I tell people, losing a home is like a death to an older person. And when you move them, I had one lady, 96 years old, vibrant, smoked like a chimney. But she was bound and determined she was going to stay in her house. And Lord, I wish the people would have talked to me, but she was moved to another city and she only lasts 6 months afterwards. Nothing wrong with her. They die of broken hearts. When you lose a spouse, people die from broken hearts.
Because that's your memories, you know, for a lot of people, that's what they worked their entire lives for. You know, back 40, 50, 60 years ago, buying a house, that was a big deal. You were almost considered, you know, you made it if you bought a house, you know?
Yeah, and she actually, her house, there was nothing wrong with her house. She didn't even lose a shingle. It's just that her daughter had to move because she lost everything. And unfortunately, like I said, if they would have talked to me, I would have told them, you know, the option that you have from this is that you may lose her from depression. They get very depressed and they just die. And it's simple as that. I can't express it. There were probably six of my clients similar situation. And they all died in a year, if not a year, right afterwards, you know, all based around losing their house and being moved because they not just lost their house. Now you took the few friends that they have left. And like you said, memories went out the when you moved them. So it was very tragic, but for us, we bounced back. And our biggest hurt was not really Katrina. I thought it was until the BP oil spill hit. And that was probably.
So you were affected by that? I thought that was mainly just out, you know, in a commercial industrious area where a lot of those oil boats and tankers and stuff like that. So that actually affected residential area and, you know, business areas.
Well, a lot of people actually did suffer. Because of the oil coming in and all we have now on the coast more cancer than we've ever had before. And I can just say that from what I'm seeing, we have the brain tumors that are happening in children right now on the Gulf Coast. And they can't, and look, literally in the same area, people are dying in the exact same area with the exact kind of brain cancer that can't be cured. Yes, but how we suffered, we started off with one of the best, no, not one of, the best year that I ever had in business.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the best year was 2010.
Okay.
Started off, it was on record to be the best I ever had. And then the oil spill hit in that April. Well, turn it up just a couple more months, and then August hits. We already suffered a lot of blows that month because of people dying and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not coming back on board because they were afraid. You just got hit not by just Katrina that hit in 2006. Then you had, remember, we had 2008 downturn of the economy.
Mm-hmm. The house, the real estate bust. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so people were not buying. I would talk to people who needed our services, but then one of them finally just came out and said, "Kern, I need your service, but I'm afraid, you know, because, you know, we just got hit and now this, and so we can't afford to do it." And then I found myself with a few clients that did come on board. We were well under the price that we needed to be self-sufficient. So it was really that, and the fact that in showing the resilience that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
we lost in 1 month, the same month, August, three major 24-hour clients, which were big for our industry, to lose them all literally within the same month. In addition to that, and we lost other clients too.
So what is the mindset like this? I mean, because we hear the self-help, the do-it-yourself, the self-development, the self-love, the self-care. But when you're really going through it, when you're really in it, and you know you have to stay committed to just moving forward, what do you do?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to start off by saying my favorite quote
mm-hmm.
which is, when one door is closed, go to another door. If mm-hmm. the other door is closed, go around the back. If mm-hmm. not, come back, kick the door in, or create your own.
Mm-hmm. You cannot
allow yourself to fold up and stop because one stream of income is not being generating. That's why mm-hmm. one of the things I'm going over at Power Up Summit is that you have to create several streams of income. And don't wait till something happens to create several streams of income. Do it now. You should, as a business owner, say, for instance, we have government contracts and insurance contracts, but you should have private income contracts as well. You know, that already is three different incomes. So when something hurts, you have another one to pull from. When you're dependent on, just say, for instance, you have only government income coming in, what's going to happen is if they can't pay, or if they decide they don't want to do business with you anymore, you have become dependent on one way to make money. And mm-hmm. that is dangerous in mm-hmm. any business.
So yeah. Even just having a job, you know, this is something yeah. that you hear over and over when you go to network marketing conferences and sales conferences, talking to people that feel like sales is beneath them because they have a job. So even if you have a job, we saw it last year with the government shutdown. So you're absolutely right. Now you talk a little bit about your family. So it seems like entrepreneurship runs in your family. You says you say here that your son Dannon has his own company. Both of your daughters are college graduates. So how was it building a business, raising a family, having a successful marriage, you know, still going after your hopes and your dreams that you, you know, just have as a woman, you know, how do you find that balance? How do you find a harmony?
You mean that saying you can have it all?
That you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time.
Exactly. You can have it all, but sometimes you can't have it all at the same time. And
mm-hmm.
we, my husband and I, Dennis, we actually have spent our lives, and we realized a long time ago that you cannot work for somebody and get wealth. Okay. You mm-hmm. may do very well. You may do exceptional. You may make millions. But at the end of the day, the only way you can find real wealth is by owning it yourself. That's number one. And you find peace of mind because you know what? God is giving you the money once you become independent of other organizations. Now, you can also do side hustles, as we like to call it. And I recommend if you are in a situation where you're career driven, please go ahead and start your own career, your own business as well, whether it's small, big, or whatever. There's too many things you can do online that can create the income. That being
absolutely
said, we, as a businesswoman, I found that that allowed me to spend more time with my kids. When my daughters were growing up, my son, I was able to go and talk to the teachers, get involved, make sure they were aligned, make sure they were doing what they needed to do. And once was in school, I was able to stay on top of that. A lot of parents are not able to take off and go stand in the gap for your own child. But that is our job as a parent. I told the teacher one time, I said, when you attack my son or you don't make sure that you notify me when he's not doing well, as far as I'm concerned, I consider that a personal attack. So that being said, when my daughters, we pulled them out of school because we felt like the school system was, they changed a lot of stuff. And it was only going to hinder them academically, even though they were A and B students all the way through. So we decided because we needed them to travel more, travel with their tennis, because they played tennis on a national level and we were getting ready to take it to another level. So one of my friends was doing homeschooling. I had her homeschool with them and we traveled the nation here, all the way Arizona many times, up to the west there in West Virginia, Virginia, all those places. And they actually, we found that we could spend time with them. And I can honestly say, I always tell people, it always amazes me how the phone never really rung while we were on the road. I always said that was God intervening. And we never had any problems. You think you're going to not be able to do it. But we found that our kids were more balanced. When they got to college, people always said, well, you
have better experiences.
Yes. And they were academically able to focus harder. I remember at one time they decided on their own that they wanted to get a little job, try out working. They were playing on the tennis. They had to play competitively because they were on the tennis scholarship and keep their grades up. They had the highest grades they ever had while they were in college, while they were working. Because
congratulations.
So yeah, but now one is a medical doctor, a pediatrician, internal medicine. And then the other one is a dental, is a dentist, and she's doing her residency at
Howard. Congratulations! I know, as a mom, that's what I wish for my boys. Exactly what you described. I don't know about the homeschooling part, but I am raising them to be entrepreneurs. I do want them to have travel experiences and to have experiences outside of, you know, every day, the normal get up, go to school, lay down, and let's do it all again tomorrow. So as a mom, and the conscious decision to do that, that's absolutely remarkable. And, you know, there's no greater reward than to see that, you know, your hard work and efforts and that energy was transferred into your children and it paid off. So congratulations on that.
And I want to interject, Erica, my son has always told us he was going to be an entrepreneur at the end of the day. And he was not always the great academic person, but when it came to business, he was sharp. And I tell you, he started his own national moving, handy dandy moving company, and it's taking off. Everybody, you know, sometimes we try to fit people into things and that's not where they belong. So I always tell people, you know, pay attention to your kid. They're telling you what they're good at. You just need to find it and get behind it. So know that. So they can all be successful. That's for sure.
Absolutely. That's an amazing story. You know, just as a mom, I mean, just, you know, just hearing your story of your perseverance, your trailblazing attitude, you know, I feel like, you know, what's next, an award show? Because there's no awards for this type of resilience that it takes to not give up, to go through life. And I'm sure, you know, just through the hurricanes itself, on top of being a woman and having, your own, you know, the things that we deal with as women, you know, are we doing enough as a parent? Are we doing enough as a wife? What can we do to push ourselves further and to stay on top of that and raise a family and come out being successful and to reach back and to give to other women like myself and the younger generations is absolutely remarkable. And, you know, just thank you. You know, I wish I was there to give you flowers. And it sounds cliche, but as we see so many of our heroes, you know, recently we lost Kobe Bryant. We've lost other heroes over the years. You know, we get so caught up in the celebrities, but in my mind, growing up, it was the everyday people, you know, the lady who owned the restaurant on the corner, the local dentist, you know, these were the people that shaped my reality.
Yes. And that's why I'm doing the book, Trailblazers Who Lead.
Which brings me to my next point. So Tell us about your new book and your collaboration where you're the visionary with over 25 women called Trailblazers Who Lead. Now, who are these women and why are you doing this particular project? I see here in your bio, you mentioned your podcast show, K Connections, which launched earlier this year in 2020. So can you tell us a little bit, pull the veil back a little bit more about, you know, your collaborative efforts and 25 women? I mean, it's hard to get 5 women to agree on anything, let alone to summon 25 women to tell their story. So how did you make that happen?
So, well, you know, I'm a connector.
And yeah, of course.
One of the reasons why I do what I do is because I believe that there are opportunities. And I told you before, people need to create other stream of revenues as well. Mm-hmm. But I believe that everybody should share their story. And I'm a person who probably would have never done a book, even though I had the books inside of me and knew I needed to get them done. I just didn't know how to. So once I was introduced by a couple of friends on doing book collaborations and being a part of them, I realized one of my friends, the project manager that came to me, Ashley, she said, "Can you just need to do the book?" And so I realized I could help other people share their story. These are women who are doing amazing things. I had one woman tell how she started collecting coolers after some of the hurricane disasters. And she said, "I realized that people didn't have any drink after the hurricanes, right?" And I thought, "You are correct."
Right.
So she decided to take a cooler down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and provide ice cold beer.
No, oh, wow.
And then she said the next year, you know, she thought, "Oh, well, you know, everybody don't drink beer, so let me add some other drinks and stuff to it." Now she's gotten to where she's got coolers for kids. She went from starting with a couple of coolers to over 1,000 people being served.
Wow.
That is just some of the people. One lady has started her own. She started adopting kids and helping kids and things like that. And she's always told me, "I want to do something different. You know, I need to be able to help people and clinically."
I'll be following this story. So any closing remarks, or can we get one quotable? Because we feel like we're in the presence of a living legend. So I definitely would like to get a quotable or your closing remarks as we wrap up this segment.
So I want to say a few things. I always have a couple of quotes that I like to share with people. Number one, I'm going to go back to the fact that I always tell people, you know, I am a master collaborator and connector. So one thing that I believe in is networking and connecting to other people. You're not going to be able to grow as fast as you can and as much as you want without building strong relationships. Because when you do that, it opens the world up and it shrinks the world. It literally does when you can connect and do things with other people. So I tell people one of the things that you should be doing, not just as an entrepreneur, but somebody who's trying to get to elevate themselves. So, and I think everybody should be doing that. So key thing, network, network, network. So just like they say in the real estate business, location, location, location. Well, for you as an individual, network, network, network. That's one way to elevate yourself. The other is that I always remind people the passion and persistence of going forward. You should never, ever give up, no matter what you do. I always tell people, and I think about this because I've known many people in my life that have given up. I've known people that have committed suicide as if what you're doing is the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. So persistence pays off. So I always tell people, and one of our people that we used to work for, he told my husband and I when he saw us, he said, you know, one thing about you Cherries, y'all are always going and you're always doing something. And that's why I came up with the phrase, if the door is closed, knock on the next door, go around the back, kick the door in or create your own. Never be afraid. There's nothing you can't do. And nothing you can't bounce back from. And sometimes it's just God saying, hey, there's something better for you in life. Amen. And you must understand that success must be taken. You have, nobody's going to give it to you. You have to go out and take it for yourself. So success must be taken.
Amen. All right. And that is Miss Kern Shirley of Cherry. Cherry, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, tongue twisted there, tongue tied there. She is hailing from Biloxi, Mississippi, where she is a wife and businesswoman of over 30 years, a mother to one son and two daughters that is an entrepreneur, two daughters successfully finishing their studies and at universities, distinguished universities at that. She's the co-director of Black Girls Rock Conference. She's also part of the Lighthouse Business and Professional Women. So Cherry has definitely blessed us with her knowledge, her wisdom, and her presence today. Please follow her at Kern Cherry, that's KEARNCHERRY. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, as well as Facebook. If you're interested in supporting by volunteering or sponsoring or speaking at Success Women's Conference, please direct yourself to successconference.com. Dot info is spelled just like it sounds. SUCCESS conference.info. Any closing out? Any more closing out remarks, Miss Cherry?
I would say don't forget Power Up Summit is coming up May the 29th through the 31st. That's powerupsummit.com in New Orleans, where everybody knows New Orleans is a place where you can come. Gain professionally at the same time you can have fun and connect with other people. And then Success Conference is September the 11th through the 13th this year. Look for some very big announcements coming soon from Success as well. And like you said, kerncherry.com for my speaker information. I'm always looking to share with other people. And I thank you, Erica, for having me on the show. I really do appreciate you inviting me.
Yes, ma'am. It's been an honor, a pleasure. And thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for joining us in this installation of the Digital Digest by AOS, for us, by us, highlighting everyday extraordinary entrepreneurs. That's all our time for this time. Peace. Thanks so much for tuning in to this installation of the Digital Digest by AOS. Today, we talked to a wonderful living legend, Ms. Kern Cherry. She's making moves, empowering women, bringing business folks together down in Biloxi. If you're interested, ladies, in becoming a speaker for Success Women's Conference, go ahead and check out her website at successconference.info. For both men and women, if you're interested in joining the Power Up Summit movement, check out powerupsummit.com. That's all our time. Until next time, thanks so much for tuning in. Peace.